So, hello everybody and welcome to another special edition of the NPL show. This week, we're counting down our favourite centre-backs from the past season. And joining me here to discuss the man mountains that are defenders in the middle of the park, we're joined by broadcasting man mountain, Mr. Ian Burke from 26-0.
That's a great offence at that, Ben. Thank you very much.
Social media man mountain, James Hayes.
Good afternoon.
Simo is here from the man mountain county that is Cheshire.
That doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. And Mark Carruthers is here as well. Hello, Mark. How are you?
He was in no way a man mountain whatsoever.
It was a man mountain hello from me to you, Mark.
I'll take that.
Before we get into the list itself, Berkey, I'll come to you for this. When I was doing my preparations, I couldn't help but notice just how experienced the centre-halves are in this league who've come from Football League clubs and have performed really, really well this year. We are pretty blessed with the amount of experienced centre-backs in the division.
Well, centre-halves are very much like goalkeepers. They get better as they go along. It's rare that you're going to see a 19, 20, 21-year-old centre-half who is going to dominate a game in the way that someone who's been around the block a few times can do. So they need those minutes under the belt. They need those seasons to see the different types of attackers and the physicality that you're going to get from someone like James Walshaw. You're not going to get pretty many 18-year-olds who can handle him shoving his arms hither and thither. But, you know, someone who's got a few miles under the belt, they'll know how to deal with him. And we've seen it this season. He's maybe slowed down a little bit. Maybe people have kind of worked him out at this level now. But it's not a good season. But generally speaking, I think for the first time in a long time, the defenders had the upper hand on those big, beaten centre-forwards.
Did you notice that Berkey broke a record there for the fastest time to get a Scarborough reference into the podcast?
And you know what, Scarborough fans listening? He's not wearing his hat or anything like that. He's naked on his head at the moment, but not everywhere
else. Locked down here, yeah.
We're all suffering from that. Have you seen mine at the minute? It's ridiculous. It's going
90s.
Anyway, let's talk about the list then of players. We'll start off, it's customary now in the third show to start off at the bottom end of the table first and then work our way up and discuss anything of interest as we go. We'll start off with Stafford Rangers and their centre-back double act of Daniel Burns and Alex Ray-Harvey, who were fairly constant throughout a tricky season. As we've discussed earlier, it wasn't necessarily conceding goals that was Stafford Rangers' problem. It was more scoring them. But we'll go to the team in second from bottom, Atherton Colls, and their captain, Danny Lafferty. And I'll come to you, James, because obviously you know of him from Radcliffe. Ironically, he replaced Brad Cook as captain a couple of years ago, and he's been brilliant this season, hasn't he, for the Colls?
He has been for the last couple of seasons. He moved over to Atherton Colliery's. He's got that experience at the same time. I think we were saying there before, we said last week about how wing-backs and full-backs can change the position. Centre-backs are pretty much the same as they have been 50, 60 years ago. Be solid defence, versatile enough to be able to move forward in the game, and he's one of them that gets Everton going.
I want to say as well, he's had to change his game a little bit this season too. He's not had the experience alongside him either this time, because he's had young Niall Battersby alongside him. He's really stepped up this season, and from someone who was a little bit green around the gills last year when they won promotion, he really passed with flying colours. And now Battersby, he's gonna progress through the game, and he will play higher than this. He's still very young, but he's a big, strapping lad, and yeah, he'll get there. He's a very promising player.
Mark, I'll come to you because James said something interesting there, and he said about the centre backs haven't really changed much. Was it the last 60 years? You said, James. I think it was. Matt, there are defenders who are you know burly, hard nosed, let's say, and competitive. But you do get the centre back now who likes to go forward. I can think of Curtis Jones who likes to go on Franz Beckenbauer runs through the middle. I mean, it is known, isn't it?
Well, I think it's similar to what we said 2 weeks ago about goalkeepers, where the roles slightly change for certain teams. So, you know, there are teams that like to play out from the back, so that means that their centre-backs have to be comfortable on the ball. But I think what we'll find is an interesting contrast across the league, where there are centre-backs who are unquestionably very comfortable on the ball, and the distribution is excellent, and there's a couple on my list who can point to that with. But by the same token, there's also players who are a bit, you know, a bit more sturdy and a bit more sort of defensive minded, and do the traditional centre-back role. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the contrast between the selections, because I think there are more and more coming into the game and coming into the league that are the sort of ball-playing centre-backs and will bring it out and will look to start attacks.
I think that's a bit sad. Defending is an art, and you know...
So speaks the Italian.
I did tell you all last night how much I love a clean sheet. But I do think that the trend is undeniable. I'm not kicking back against that. But I do find a sadness to it, and kind of people who kind of fit that mould of being a very traditional centre half are they being edged out of the game? I don't know. I'm not sure that's true in the Northern Premier League. I think, you know, you said Man Mountains at the outset, and a lot of the guys that we're going to talk about today definitely fit that mould. But maybe we're not quite as far along in the evolution as we were with the fullbacks that we were talking about last week. But I do think the trend is changing for centre-halves, and that is a little bit sad. They're there to defend.
I think it's more to do with the style of the game changing. I mean, you look back to the 70s and 80s, and you've got the likes of John Beck and Dave Bassett and Graham Taylor, who were very much opponents of the Route 1 approach to football. Just hit the ball to the centre half, smack it forward, aim for the big lad up top, he'll knock it down and a little fella will come in and score a goal. That doesn't happen so much anymore. I mean, even you go down to the North West Counties League, where the pitches aren't as conducive to playing the kind of lovely passing game that you want to see, and certainly that FC United have been playing at times this season, and South Shields, and you just don't have the call anymore, really, for these big sort of units at the back, whose only job, really, is to smack it forward. There's a place for him in the game, because you want a little bit of silk and steel, I suppose. You want your enforcer there, but you also want the fella next to him who can just link up between the midfield, too.
That takes us to the next player who I'd just like to mention, and that's Nico Di Girolamo at Buxton.
Yeah, I'm Buxton. There was a couple of names that you could have put forward from Buxton from defence for this, and yeah, Di Girolamo is one of them. Did steady the ship obviously when they changed the manager as well, so they became a little bit more difficult to beat. And be interested to see kind of whether there's going to be a lot of change in that area of the field next season, or whether Gary Harrith changes further forward. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on that. Also, if we mentioned Buxton, we should probably mention Matlock as well and give Adam Yates a shout out. He's so close to the landmark 500 games, isn't he? I mean, I was thinking last night, I don't think I've ever seen Whitten play Matlock and Adam Yates wasn't playing. I mean, he just seems to have been around for so long. Fantastic career, brilliant servant to the club, and still performing at a very high standard. I would imagine still, you know, even all through all the managerial changes that we've seen at Matlock in recent seasons, still one of the first names on the team sheet. So I just wanted to give him a shout out as well.
That also says how long you've been around, Simo.
I was going to say, it says a lot about Adam Yates, because obviously he was one of the players that was mentioned in the top 100 2 years ago now, placing fifth overall. So,
Just to cover off the Peak District, Dwayne Wiley at Matlock, he's been at the club since 2016, and at Buxton, Conor O'Grady as well. And we mentioned about experience. It's interesting that Nico and Conor both come from the two different Sheffield clubs, United and Wednesday. So, just a note. Ashton United, Jonathan Hunt's been pretty consistent all the way through.
Yeah, he's been there since the start of the campaign and done what he always does. He reads the game very well. If there's a ball coming over the top, he'll nod it away. He's an unspectacular centre-half. He doesn't have to do the fancy stuff at all. He just does the simple things and he does them very well. A fixture on the Tameside football circuit for donkey's years. And yeah, he's done very well.
Now, James, I'll come to you for the next bit, because it's Radcliffe. You've done a bit of gymnastics with this, because originally you had Rick Smith down in your list. You've changed that to Callum Grogan. What have you made of Radcliffe? Because up until Christmas, you were one of the big hitters. So, and Rick Smith and Callum Grogan very much a part of that.
They're pretty much the only two that have survived pretty much all the season as well. So Rick Smith's been as well, primarily because, again, the centre-back is your main leaders in my eyes. So that's what I was saying before about a role that hasn't changed. That's where your captains tend to play if they're not midfielders. Rick Smith started to really settle into that role. Callum Grogan, I see more as like a defensive midfielder. but as a defender as well, he can get the job well done sort of himself, and Vince Hayward used to swap roles during the game. So this is why I was getting a little bit confused with the two. I won't be, again, another one, I won't be surprised if when we come back he's not playing at a football level time, what he can do.
Mickle over sports, in the summer, John McGrath signed Greg Young. Greg Young came in and joined Pablo Mills, and Pablo Mills is just...
He's still going. I mean, between them, I think they've got a combined age of 135. And so you've got some experience between them. They don't have the greatest amount of pace. I don't think they ever did. But if you attack them head on, you just it's so difficult to play through them because they read the game so well. And they don't have to use as much energy as someone without as many years on the clock. So, yeah, they've been fantastic. And Mikulova, all right, they finished the season in 15th place, but they still had 3-4 games in hand over most of the teams ahead of them. And they had a pretty decent chance. They were going for a top-10 finish. And for a side who a few people, I mean, mentioning no names, wrote off at the start of the campaign, I think they've performed above all expectations, really. And so a big part of it is down to the solid foundation they've got there. Not just those two in the centre-half, but the entire back line.
We should also mention as well that Pablo Mills loves a goal. You know, he chips in.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't. He blasts them in.
Well, you know, he comes up big for them in set pieces, and also, like you say, loves a screamer as well. He's contributed valuable goals for Mikulova along the way as well.
I always think when you talk about players like him that's played in the Football League for so long, the fact that he's come to the Northern Premier League and established himself there, and the attitude is just always right, because sometimes we do get Football League players who, you know, the attitude is that when they drop to this level, they think they're kind of above it. But the fact he's settled in so well and performed so consistently just speaks volumes for him.
Right, Simo, I'm going to come to you.
Yeah.
Adam Hansen, my win. He's in your list, your top five. Why?
Just a guy who's made a huge impact at Wincham Park this season, and the kind of measure of that is that he was sold to Southport for a four-figure transfer fee just before the season finished. So Liam Watson, a big admirer of him, thinks he can make the step, actually be making the step back up to the National League North, because he left Chorley the previous summer after they got promoted to the National League, and Witten were one of a number of teams who were desperate to bring him in. He did come over to Wincham Park, and as I said last week, came into a group that had already established his reputation of being one of the best defenders in the league, but had lost a couple of members. But he slotted in beautifully. And actually, one of the few examples of guys that we'll talk about today who does do that side of the game of bringing the ball out, he's contributed to the attack. Whenever Carl McCauley changed the three at the back, Anston played on the right of that, and loved having that opportunity to move forward. And I know that's something that, again, that Southport really liked about his game. So a real shame to see him move on, but not remotely a surprise. And fair play to him for stepping into a lineup that had, you know, established his reputation, and he enabled them to carry that work on. So, 30-odd games and straight back up the pyramid. And I'm not surprised remotely. Great player.
No, brilliant stuff. And, Berkey, speaking of Witten, you've added Josh Wardle to your list too.
Yeah, I've never seen him have a bad game. I've only seen Anson play the once, so I've not really been able to put him in there. I've seen Wardle play a fair few times, and he's always been spot on. The Hercules of Wincham Park. I mean, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. I don't know why he's at step three. I just don't understand it. Also, the captain of Simo, the people who can't see, which is everyone apart from us doing this, Simo just put his fingers to his lips and went, shh. But he's not just the captain of Witten Albion, he's the captain as well, was the captain of Liverpool University as well, with Liam Tong alongside him too, Hyde United, the midfielder/fullback. And I think he's a cracking centre-half. Another one of those players who's just a unit and very, very difficult to get past. He uses his strength really well, uses his intelligence too, and he's got a really big future in the game if he wants to go further.
Just to touch on, yeah, and also he stepped up as captain this season after Rob Hopley had the horrific injury in pre-season, so enormous kind of responsibility to take on for a young player, particularly following a guy like Rob, who's hugely popular, hugely influential at the club. Wardle's on this huge crest of a wave. He's such an improved player from the guy that came from Skelmersdale a couple of summers ago. Massive hat tip to Carl McCauley and Gary Martinelli. It's a real victory for coaching because, you know, again, they built this very solid foundation, and Wardle's very much at the centre of that. And he would attest to that. I've spoken to him about it, about how much they've improved his game in the next 2 years. Absolutely a player to keep an eye on. I obviously hope that he stays at Witten for another season, but it will be interesting to see what happens in his future.
Let's go to Bamba Bridge and Kieran Charnock, who has got... We speak about Pablo Mills' experience. Kieran's got quite a bit as well, in all fairness. And even though Bamba have had, numerous players and that kind of thing, he's been pretty consistent all the way through.
Yeah, but they've also got the worst defensive record in the league.
Well, he can't do it all himself, can he?
I'm so old that I remember Kieran Charnock as a young, bright hope playing centre-half for Norwich Victoria when they were still in the top tier of non-league football. And actually, I think to this day, he still is... The record transfer fee for somebody being sold by Vicks is still Kieran Charnock's move into the Football League with Peterborough United some time back. But he's had a wonderful, wonderful career, still easily capable of playing at this level, clearly looks after himself in good physical condition, and quite a lot of young guys around him in that Bamba Bridge team, which obviously, as we've talked about, has changed an awful lot in the past 12 to 18 months, and still a really important figure for them.
Stalybridge. I've got Chris Smalley down and Steve O'Halloran.
Well, also, Steve O'Halloran is featured really highly in both their supporters and players' Player of the Year votes. So, obviously, the people who get to see him often feel that he's had a really good season there. And who am I to argue with them? So, yeah, in fact, he was on my long list because he played really well in the games I saw him as well. So, definitely worth a mention, worth a shout out for him.
Right, let's head up the table and go to Gainsborough Trinity. I've got Will Thornton written down, who was a loanee from Geisler, and Nathan Stainsfield, who's now left the club. Interesting times ahead for Curtis Woodhouse there and what he's going to do for next season. Hyde United, Burke. Jordan Fagbola, I've got written down as an interesting talking point for this season.
Yeah, he's probably not had the most consistent of campaigns, to be honest. Some weeks he's been outstanding, absolutely brilliant, nothing getting past. But other weeks, he's not been unsung, shall we say. And he's had a few defensive partners alongside him. He has been the mainstay, actually, at centre-half for the Tigers. But yeah, Bailey Gooder alongside him at the start of the season. But Tom Dean came in, did pretty well. But probably his best defensive partner over the campaign has been John McCombe, the assistant manager, who doesn't really want to be playing anymore. He's getting on a bit, and he's like the tin man whenever he gets off the pitch. But when he does play, he never puts a foot wrong. So I think he needs someone alongside him, Jordan, who he can rely on too, because I think he worries about what the guy next to him's up to too much, and it can distract him. But he's a fantastic servant to the club, fantastic attitude to the game. He just needs to regain that consistency this next season, I think.
I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? Because with centre-halves, it's not necessarily the quality of the individual player. It's also the quality of that partnership with the other player at the back as well, a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think a partnership is underrated. Like you talk about partnerships at the top end of the pitch, it's just as important at the back.
Mark, I'll come to you next. Morpeth Town. I've written down Michael Turner for obvious reasons. But your list... Your top five, you put Jeff Henderson in.
And Jeff comes with quite an interesting backstory. So he was Newcastle's under-23s captain for a long time. Got released by Newcastle, went on loan to Sligo Rovers in Ireland, won the cup over there, played in Europe, and got a bad injury, then came back to the North East and played in the Northern Alliance League, which I think was step nine he was playing at. Asked if he could go pre-season training with Morpeth a couple of years ago, and then has been an essential part of their back four, back three, mainly back four, since then. It captains them. So comfortable on the ball. We were talking about that at the very start, but also does the other side of the game really well. So although we have spoke about that Silk and Steel and trying to get a combination, he does both pretty well. I am quite surprised, I'm honest, that he hasn't featured in other people's lists. I don't know if it's just a case of that he hasn't stood out in games, but I know how highly Morpeth rate him. I know how highly people up here rate him. I think he's a very, very, very good player.
And four goals this past season as well from centre-back. And he won a fair few internal awards, didn't he, last year in the promotion campaign?
He did, because I think he's someone who, you know, when you talk him up with players, they all rave about him. They love him. The coaching staff love him. And he's just reliable. I genuinely haven't seen him have a poor game. But you're right in terms of pitching him with goals. He scored an outstanding goal against Warrington, I think it was, just before Christmas when Morpeth hammered Warrington up there. And he is someone who will pitch in, but for me, he's the best semi-professional centre-back in the North East. I think he's outstanding.
Right, there we go. Burke, take that Hyde United hat off. Take it off, put the Scarborough one on. Asenso Isaac.
Yeah, probably the most improved centre-half of the season for me. Looking very calm, very assured. And since Darren Kelly's come in, there's an air of serenity about him, around the whole back line, really, of the Sea Dogs. And, yeah, I think he's going to be one to watch for next season, actually. He's really, really come on leaps and bounds and just playing with a really cool head on him.
I'll come to you, Simo, for this next bit. Because Kieran Waleji has picked up a lot of votes from this particular MPL show panel. Why?
Well, obviously, he might actually be forming a partnership with Asenso next season because he's just completed a transfer from Whitby to Scarborough. And I think that's going to be one of the coups of the summer stroke pre-season going into whenever the next season starts. Much sought after player. I think partly because he's been... it's a gradual improvement over a number of seasons. I've been a very firm fixture at the back for Whitby for some time, but has got better each year on year. And I think, I was reading what Daz Kelly was saying about him after they completed the transfer, and I think one of the more attractive things about Kieran is that he can play in a number of positions across the back. I mean, I've seen him play for Whitby as right back, I've seen him play on the right of the back three, and I've seen him play at centre half, and he's been excellent each time. And that's obviously going to be really useful tactically for Scarborough, as it has been for Whitby. And Whitby as well, a side that have really improved under Chris Hardy this season, and a massive reason for that is how solid they've been defensively. Each time I've seen them, been really impressed. It's partly why I had Shane Bland on my list for goalkeepers. It's been built on that very solid foundation, and Waleji's a huge, huge part of that, and it'll be really interesting to see if he can kick on further with Scarborough. I'm sure Scarborough will be bringing others in, and they will be one to watch going into next season if they're going to be bringing in players of his calibre.
I was going to mention, because there's not just Waleji, obviously there's Jassim Suka, isn't there? And James, you've picked Alex White in your top five.
Yeah, so out of the choices of all the teams, I think Whitby have probably got the best defence and of option wise in general from the last season. And Chris Hardy's methodology and his own philosophy of the game, he always works from the back. I think that's why I ended up picking two Whitby players. Very hard to split them two at the moment.
Simo, I'll come back to you for Nantwich Town. Joel Stair is on your list. He's on Mark's list as well. But there's players like Ben Harrison as well, and Josh Langley. I think Casper Hughes could play centre back as well. Dave Cook's pretty spoilt, isn't he, in that defensive line.
And we touched on this last week about teams being able to adjust between formations, and Dave Cook was able to do that really skillfully. I saw Nantwich quite a few times this season, and I've seen them play with a flat back four and seen them play with three defenders when Ben Harrison joined Langley and Stair. And Langley could, you know, toss up between Langley and Stair. Really. I just think Stair, very similar to Waleed, he's kind of been on since he stepped up to Nantwich from Hanley Town, has been season by season has steadily got better and better. And one thing that was really striking this season is the number of goals that he chipped in as well. Such a threat from set pieces. We touched on Pablo Mills earlier, and kind of Joel Stair's very much done that job for Nantwich of popping up with vital goals as well as being very, very solid at the other end of the field. And yeah, a big part of the reason why Nantwich were right in the thick of it once again to qualify for the playoffs. He's had a really good season.
Four goals from Joel Stair this season. Not bad.
Forward it there you go.
Let's go to. I might as well stay with you actually, Simo, because you've mentioned Glenn Steele at Lancaster, and we need to go back. This is going to be the disclaimer whenever we talk about Lancaster this season. Most clean sheets in the league. So Glenn Steele at Lancaster, very much had a role to play.
Yeah.
In that.
I like Glenn Steele as well because he's a victory for nominative determinism in that, you know, centre-half called Steele. He's got to be on the list, hasn't he? But he fits that kind of profile of guys that we say are very, very experienced, been around a long time at Bamber Bridge and I think filed for a spell as well and then has been at Lancaster a while now. And also brilliant again for the way in which Mark Fell set the team up to have that calm, cool head at the back, organising the guys around him. Just so dependable, so reliable, very, very consistent. And yeah, how can you not have a Lancaster guy in when they've had statistically one of the best defences in the league and obviously having him there to make it all happen is the reason that I've got him on the list, not just for linguistic convenience.
Although he could do with having Josh Granite alongside him or Derek Hard as Nails, couldn't he?
Anyway, right, I'll cut to you, Mark, for the next one, because I'll let the listener into a little secret. I think, apart from James, everyone agrees with Stefan Galinski at Basford United. He's a man mountain. No one wants to play against Stefan Galinski, do they?
No, and I think that shows when you see you know, some of the performances he's put in this season, just consistent. He's been, as you say, a rock at the back for them. So mobile for someone so big as well and chips in with goals. But a real leader and a real sort of foundation that their season's been built on. And again, you know, going forward, you can see him being a kind of key part of Basford and what's going on there. Sounds like there's big plans for next season. And I'm sure he'll be key to that.
I mean, I believe he's quite good at heading the ball as well, isn't he?
I believe so, yes. I was going to mention that.
Soon to be a world record holder, possibly.
You mentioned, Mark, about the plans for next year. Brad Gascoigne isn't in those plans. How good a base we're going to be then at the back next year? If
yeah, you know, you talk about partnerships and they were one of the best in the league, so they're surprised to see him go, but they've obviously got someone lined up, someone who, if he is better than Gascoigne, will be unbelievable. So again, as I say, I want to watch next season. We'll be there or thereabouts, no doubt about it.
Right, let's move on to Warrington. I've obviously got Mark Roberts written down for obvious reasons, but Birkett, you've mentioned David Raven.
Well, he's been a model of consistency over the last few seasons, and all right, Warrington conceded a few more goals this season than did last season, but they were still way down the list of most goals conceded, weren't they? So they've carried on in much the same vein, really. Very rarely conceding more than a goal or two in a match. And, yeah, he's getting on a little bit now, but he's still doing the business. And he instills a belief in the players around him as well, a very calm influence. And, yeah, he's good. And a danger from free kicks and all that kind of corners and all that.
That's something that we've not really discussed in when we're talking about centre-backs. It's just how important they are for set pieces. And that takes me to Curtis Jones and Chris Doyle, because the pair of them, I think it was Lancaster and Warrington, both popped up with late goals late in the day. And, you know, you get that from centre-backs a lot of the time, don't you? Simo, what do you think about Jones and Doyle? Because you've seen them a couple of times this year. They're in a defence which leaked a lot of goals.
And I think that's... I can't speak for everybody else, but I think subconsciously that's maybe why we've not had FC United defenders on the... is kind of on our list, and that might be a little bit unfair, because I know that Renault picked Curtis Jones as his player of the season, didn't he?
Yeah.
To be fair, we did give Adam Dodd a lot of love last week, but I do wonder whether Jones and Doyle have suffered a little bit of, you know, the number of goals FC United conceded, and we kind of subconsciously have gone, okay, maybe we shouldn't have them on the list. But you're right. I mean, Chris Doyle, a much sought after player as well when he left Marine, and, you know, I don't think I'm breaking any confidence to say that Whitton was somebody we were really keen on Doyle, and we're gutted to miss out when he went to FC United. So a very highly rated player in the Northwest, and a great signing for FC. And those two will be a great foundation for them next season. You're right. One thing that Jones does contribute with the ball at his feet, which is one thing that we've touched on today about some of the other guys. Very much kind of fits quite nicely into that FC United tradition of playing out from the back. And yeah, like you say, are able to weigh in with goals. I'd be amazed if they aren't the kind of starting combination for FC next season. Why wouldn't they be?
And it's interesting, Mark, as well, because I'm not giving the game away here. South Shields and FC United were the top two. Both have a fullback each in our starting 11 for the season just gone. But not the goalkeepers and not the centre-backs either. You have picked Dylan Morse in your list, but I think you're going to get outvoted. We should mention Gary Brown as well. Why is that? Why do you think... I mean, Simo's covered off the FC United angle, but what about South Shields in that defensive triangle at the back?
Well, I think if we go off the last time we both saw these two clubs, it's probably because defending was a lost art during that game, where they both essentially played a 1-9 formation and just forgot about defending.
Wasn't it fun, though? Yeah. Wasn't it fun, Mark? It was fun.
It was great fun. Yeah.
I'd have been fuming at a 5-3 game. Absolutely fuming.
It was certainly interesting.
Simo, I'll let you into a little seat. I think did we hit FC hit the bar twice, did they?
It should have been five all
if the truth be known. But anyway.
And to be fair, South Shields missed quite a few decent chances as well. It could have been 5-3 was probably the bare minimum. But yeah, I think in terms of Dylan, the one thing I found with him this year is because of injuries, because of John Shaw being utilised elsewhere on the pitch, he's been without his regular partner that he's been alongside for sort of 3 years now. He's had to adjust to Gary Brown, who's a very different sort of defender to John Shaw. And I think Dylan has grown up a lot this season. His distribution is as good as anything around, I think, in terms of, hits a crossfield pass like no one. Pitches in with goals, really calm. He's grown physically. And I just think he's someone, again, who will progress up the leagues eventually with South Shields. But I am quite surprised that nobody higher up the pyramid has taken a serious look at him.
I think part of the reason none of us have gone third place from FC United and South Shields is because, generally speaking, those two teams are always on the front foot. And you don't often get to see what their defensive line can do. You know, the ball comes over, they nod it away, and that's them done for 10 minutes. I think that's what it comes down to. When you see the likes of Galinski and Waleji and the Witten fellas, they're busy during most games, you know, and they really earn their card. So I think we get to see a lot more of those centre-halves.
We should mention John Shaw as well, Mark, because we caught up with John in May, I think it was, or the end of April, when we were doing our shows looking at the community work the clubs were doing. I mean, he's not just an impressive footballer, but he's a very impressive human being, I think, as well.
He is, yeah. He's very calm, very collected. And even when everything was going on regarding the voiding of the season, he was kind of the cool head, given the sort of straight, sort of confident, level-headed answers. And I think John, he'll be a manager at some point, and I think he'll be a very good manager. He's looking after the club's academy at the moment, and they've done very well in a number of national competitions. But again, on the pitch, he's just shown his use of the season by pitching him with a few goals when he's returned to his former striking role. Unusual to see South Shields with a striker like him up top, a target man-style striker. But John, he's just been so consistent since he's been there. And he's come with good pedigree, played in the Football League for the likes of Sheffield Wednesday and Luton. But I think he's a real club man now. You can see everything he does, gets involved in community work. As I say, works with the academy and plays in the first team. So he's invaluable at that football club.
Right. All that said, it's now time to deliberate and discuss our two centre-backs. I'm assuming we're going with a flat-back four. We are traditionalists, aren't we? So joining Ollie Martin in goal, Adam Dodd at left back, and Jordan Hunter at right back, who we're going to play in the two centre back positions? By the voting, it looks like Stefan Galinski's a shoo-in, and not much deliberation here, I have to say, and Kieran Waleji at Whitby. Done. Thanks for joining us. I don't know what else to say. I mean, any disagreements with them?
The only one for me is, again, the only reason I didn't pick Galinski and Marty is because of the Whitby partnership this year. I would have put them just into White and Waleji, but
I'd be happy to swap Waleji for Wardle. No, I wouldn't. I'd be happy to swap Galinski for Wardle.
Okay.
Yes.
I have to say, I mean, the lobbying that's gone on behind the scenes from Simo, Witten fans, you've got a good one there. You've got a good one. He really has fun.
Well, I told you before we started recording, you won't have any, hardly any contributions from me in the next in the next three editions, so I thought I'd get me lobbying in now.
Just to
you can't get into the team of the year because you headed the ball from the halfway line. It's ridiculous.
That's not why he's in the team of the year. He's your archetypal centre back. He's a man monster, but he's agile and he can head the ball quite far. Anyway, on that note, it's just a brief disclaimer before we go. Just a reminder, there are no trophies. This wasn't about awarding any players. This was purely 40 minutes for us to have a chat, and we've invited you along, dear listener. So just a bit of fun and games.
Well, you're saying it's a disclaimer. Have we had any abuse so far, or have people kind of been on board with, you know? No, I don't think anyone's reached out and said, you know, that's a crime against punditry, any of the choices we've made so far.
Starchenko's golden has been knocked out the best goals award at the moment.
That is a crime, to be fair.
To be fair, though, James, that's a social media issue, not a podcast issue, so therefore that's firmly within your purview. Anyway, right, that's a posh word. That's the end of the show. A big thank you to Mark Rivers for joining us this week to walk us through this top list of centre-backs from the 2019-20 season. Mr. Ian Burke from 26-0, thank you for coming along too.
Thank you, Ben. Sorry, I was just eating.
Thank you. Thank you to Simo, non-league reporter from the great county of Cheshire.
No worries.
And James Hayes, big thank you for joining us too. We'll be back next week. And next week, have we decided what we're doing? Are we doing central midfielders, or are we going for wingers next week?
It depends what formation our team's going to be. I was thinking about this before, because if we're going to go 4-3-3, then we can't have a wingers episode. But if we're going to go 4-4-2, then we can. But it depends. A team of the year that the Northern Premier League does is normally 4-3-3, isn't it?
Why don't we have a 4-2-3-1, which is the formation all good teams play nowadays?
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So we're only having one centre-forward. You can't have one centre-forward. That's just, you're leaving yourself open for all kinds.
Yeah, that's a good
one. All right, you got 4-4-2.
All right, 4-4-2.
Okay, so we've spent the last 2 weeks saying how modern the Northern Premier League is and how fluid and the technical changes, and we're going to do a team that's 4-4-2.
4-2-3-1, then, one centre-forward. You've got to be mint.
We can't have one centre-forward. There's no point tuning in for that show otherwise, is there? We all know who that one centre-forward is, so...
Well, we don't have to do the show, then. Let's talk about Sunday for 15 minutes each, and we're done.
I think 4-4-2, Ben. I think that's fair.
So next week, we'll go back to the flanks. We'll do wingers next week, right or left, and we'll be discussing that. So join us next week. But big thank you to these guys for joining us this week, and you'll be hearing from us again next Sunday. Have a good week. Bye bye.